Welcome to a Veterans Podcast powered by Wisconsin Veterans Network, the show where we hear unique, inspiring stories from veterans all over. Veterans who've transitioned, who've overcome obstacles, and even those still struggling. We will learn all veterans have a unique story, ones filled with pain and triumphs, and we will learn no veteran is alone, no matter the path they took. We share their stories to help motivate and inspire the world, to help understand what it means to be a veteran, and most of all, we share to give them a voice amongst the noise. You can find us at aveteranspodcast.com to learn more and how you can be a part of the show. So myself is Noah and
I'm Kelsey,
the co-host. We both currently work at Wisconsin Veterans Network. Information will be in the bio to find out more about Wisconsin Veterans Network and what we do there. But I guess we can spend this episode introducing ourselves and where we come from, our service, and those kind of things. Sound good?
Yeah, I love talking about myself. I'm ready.
Don't we all? do you want to go first or what?
Sure. Okay. So I'm Kelsey. I was in the Navy for 10 years. I served from 2004 with a break in service. And 2008, I got out, rejoined in 2009, and then served until 2014. I was a damage controlman, which is like a firefighter, for those that don't know. And I was really awesome because I was a chemical, biological, radiological warfare technician. Which,
you know, anybody listening to this is going to hear you're really awesome when you say that about yourself. And just continue on.
Go anyways, so I served on two cruisers. I worked at RTC. I was an instructor, which was kind of cool. And then I was medically retired in 2014. And went through a slew of trying new jobs, worked as a barista, was a preschool teacher, and then ultimately ended up at VetsNet. And so now I'm working here and just trying to help veterans, I guess.
So some of the things during the podcast with other veterans that we're going to do is ask specific questions to understand their story. So in a case like yours, the first question being, lead us into why you joined the service.
So I joined because of September 11th. I think...
What month and year did you join?
I joined July of 2004.
Okay.
So I was a sophomore in high school when September 11th happened. And I remember like not even really understanding the gravity of it, but knowing that it was bad and that I wanted to do something to make it better. Both of my grandparents... or grandfather served, so that was kind of inspiring too. But really, it was for patriotic reasons. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to, you know, do anything like that.
So. Totally understand. But did you do the split option where you joined your junior year, or did you join your senior year?
I actually joined the first week of my senior year because I was still 17.
Okay.
So I was a young senior.
Okay.
So my parents signed away my rights.
I get it. I was there too. We'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. Another important question that we want to understand when working with veterans and hearing veteran stories is, what are some of, and this goes for Kelsey and myself that we will answer, but what are some of the biggest mistakes you made during your transition and leaving service? And when did you leave service?
So in 2008, when I initially got out of the Navy, I was young. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was going to be so successful because I served for 4 years.
I think we all did.
And then I got out like right as the economy crashed.
And in what, 2008?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was not prepared. And I lived in my parents' basement. And I think it was like a week I was out and I was back in the recruiting office like, put me back in.
And you went back in, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so I had to go through part of boot camp again, which was wild.
Did you switch jobs or stay with the job?
No, I switched jobs. So I was a radar reader operations specialist my first 4 years, and then switched to damage control because that was the only opening that I could keep my rank, and I refused to.
Yeah, nobody wants to go back in at a lower rank because then you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And so when I joined again, I really had a different view on it because I knew how important it was.
Okay.
And I was going to do 20, and then I got medically retired. And I mean, that whole thing is a mess anyways.
I mean, that's probably like its own show in itself is when we get into, because we're, if you don't know this, we're both medically retired. So, but maybe we can just do a show on that whole stupid process.
And I think just trying to process what's going on with you medically and getting out of the military is like, I was a mess.
Just everything combined into one big hole. Yeah, totally understand.
For sure.
Another important question is, what are some of the positives you made during your transition? And although your transition was unique with being medically retired, there are still some certain aspects that follow somebody else who regularly leaves, well, the first time you left service. So even that time, like, what are some of the positive decisions that you made during your transition, whether leading up to leaving service or after service?
You know, that's a hard question. I feel like I wasn't very positive on either. But to be honest, like, when I was young, I got out because I thought I was going to chase a guy around the world. And so that wasn't great. When I got medically retired, I think I took the advice of have multiple copies of your medical record, have multiple copies of your service record, make sure that, you know, those kind of things were
important. But did you invest a lot of time into job searching, resume, like the ACAP or ASAP? I don't know what the Navy.
So we have the TAP program.
Well, I think ours is the TAP program too. But did you invest a lot of time into that?
No.
Okay.
I really,
you just checked the block,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Like I went to the class because I had to. But I don't think I took it seriously. Like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be retired. I don't need a job. So I didn't pay attention.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
And then, in looking at everything that happened to you in your story of transitioning and serving, what is the biggest advice that you can give to other veterans or even those that are transitioning out?
I think, but copies of everything. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was searching for, like, one simple piece of paper. And keeping an open line of communication with your final chain of command. Because they were really helpful in, like, letters of recommendation and things like that. Probably because I was a stellar sailor.
Well, maybe that's because the Navy, because the Army doesn't work like that at all.
Well, my chain of command was pretty awesome, but... you know, and asking for help. Like, I'm not afraid to ask people when I don't understand something or I need help with something. So I think that was probably my biggest takeaway.
Okay.
What about you?
What about me?
Come on, I want to hear the secret story. I feel like I know you, but I don't really know.
So just
you.
A side note, we've worked together for probably like 9 months or a year, something like that. But for me, I joined the service in 2000, straight out of high school. I had no plans for college. I didn't know what the hell I was doing with my life. But my father was a retired officer. My older brother had joined the Marines. Later on down the road, my younger brother joined the service and all my cousins as well. So it was like a family thing, but it kind of wasn't. So I joined the Army in 2000. I was in Korea during 9/11, all that good stuff. In 2003, I actually left the service due to an injury, and I got out at the time, and that transition was good only because I was young and dumb, and at the time I was married and my wife deployed, so I kind of just did. I had no care because I didn't have to work because she made good money. So I know it's a real crappy thing to say, but that whole transition, and then in 2004. She got out, and then that was kind of a rough patch in trying to find work, and I enlisted actually into the Air Force Reserves.
And I'll save the jokes for another day.
Yeah, whatever. So if you don't know this, the benefit of what I did was because I was having a hard time finding a job, I was a mechanic in the service. I didn't want to really be a diesel mechanic, so I joined the Air Force Reserves so the Air Force would pay to send me to school to learn a new trade that I could get a job in the civilian world. So I went and joined as a welder, an auto body tech, so I could learn how to weld so I could get a civilian job. And it worked out. For 2 years, I did that and worked with the Air Force Reserves and then had a civilian job as a welder. So I played the system to benefit myself. And it's true. The Air Force is just... Like going from Army to Air Force, it was very relaxing. So after that, in 2006, the war picked up overseas, and my wife and I decided that we would go back to the Army and deploy, like just do our part and go back for the hell of it. I guess long story short, I joined to go overseas and ended up in a four-year garrison unit. So that whole plan did not work out so well. But after 2010, everything kind of happened real fast, and then I went to Iraq and then Afghanistan right after that, and then I finally transitioned and medically retired in 2015. So it was 15 years total, 2 years with the Air Force in the middle of all that, obviously with its big ups and downs.
So it was like a two-year vacation for you is what you're saying.
It was.
That's fine.
I think my reserve base was like 2 hours away, and like the whole thing was just weird. It was just a weird time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what the hell we were doing. And I think she joined the reserves with me, so it was like really just weird.
You guys are so romantic.
Yeah, we're divorced now. So we see how well that worked out.
That's pretty great. I mean.
But the medical retirement came after my deployment to my Afghanistan, the last deployment. There really wasn't any deployments coming. And at that point, I had to make a decision to either stay in another 5 years to retirement or take the med board and just call it quits, because it didn't seem like there was any more deployments coming our way. And that was just the whole reason I came back in, is I wanted more of those. So I took the medically retirement in 2015. And then I lived in my brother's basement for 9 months. I guess you'd say homeless. Just slept on a basement, playing video games, not giving a crap about anything. And then in 2016 or late 2015, I remarried and then moved to Wisconsin and eventually ended up here after a couple jobs. So my transition in 2015 was way harder than my transition in 2004, mainly because I was older, more responsibilities. I don't know what to say on that.
Do you think that your transition in 2004 prepared you at all for 2015? No. Or you think you kind of took that for granted?
I kind of took it for granted, because 2004 was such an easy transition, because I didn't have to work. I didn't care. I just wanted to party. And then when I came around in 2015, although I had kids at this point, it just wasn't, I was like, this shit's easy. Like, yeah. This is a cakewalk. Like, I was mainly, maybe it's a cocky thing to say, but I was like, I spent 15 years in the service, 2 deployments. Like, I can get out. Anybody's going to hire me. Like, give me a break. You're going to hire me.
I think that's like the problem. I think we all get told that. And then you get out and Target's like, you don't have any management experience.
Or you're overqualified.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but after I retired and I moved to Wisconsin, I didn't work for about a year again. I just spent time with my son and my wife. And then she became pregnant, so I had to get a job. So I worked as a welder for 3 months. That didn't work out so well, probably my own fault. I ended up walking off the job. 6 months after that, I ended up finding a sales marketing job at a mortgage company. First time ever being in corporate from military, and nobody else there was veterans. So it was a very uncomfortable 6 months. I ended up getting fired because obviously I did not fit in with that personality of corporate world. I
know,
shocking, right? So, and then I struggled again for another 6 months to find another job, and Wisconsin Veterans Network kind of fell out of the air, and here I am. So,
yeah.
And again, we can talk more about what we do at VetSnet and stuff in a later episode. But the biggest, I guess the biggest in answering the same questions you answered and why I joined the service, I think I answered that one.
Yeah. So I have a question that's not on there, just because I was thinking about this today, because I like to reminisce on the old days. But what is the one thing that, looking back, like, is the hardest thing for you now, like adjusting, or like the one thing you miss the most?
That's like a grenade question, because there's like so many, like everybody's service is different. I think mine, for me You're saying, like, what are the most difficult things?
No, like what do you miss? So for me, like, the relational side of me misses the friendships and stuff. But, like, the high energy, like, intense, like, I miss having an intense job that's, like, go. So
I think it's the biggest thing with the military is it's just a stressful job no matter what your job is. It's just high stress, very fast pace. And coming to the regular world, like working in corporate, I missed that dramatically because it was just slow. Nobody really cared about anything. There's also the family mentality that when I was in the service, you could pick up a phone and call 10 people and they'd be over your house in a heartbeat to either help you move a couch or something dumb. In the civilian world, like even now when we have civilian friends, like if I need a ride to go pick up my truck, they're not going to answer their phone.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just a different type of like friendship and camaraderie is that those were like the biggest things I missed. And just in general was the uniform, just plain and simple. Like when you wear a uniform, people look at you different.
Yeah. Like, that's for sure.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. And when, I don't know.
Well, and it's kind of thoughtless. Like you just put it on. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. Like now I got to wake up an extra 10 minutes early. You know,
it, again, for me, like I joined at 17. So like from 17 to what, 33, I wore a uniform. Yeah. That is all I wore other than clothes in the evening or the weekends. But like, that's how I grew up. I was taught to dress. Like that's just the way it is. So I missed the uniform.
I hear that.
So I think I answered that question.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Some of the bigger mistakes I made during my transition is thinking I can handle it by myself. That shit does not work. So I think going through TAPS class for any veteran or any military person, you sit there in class and you look at the person instructing you as like a parent. We all have those parents that sit there and tell us, brush your teeth now because you're going to pay for it later. And you're like, ha, whatever. And then like 10 years later, your teeth are falling out. So I did the same thing in TAPS as I didn't listen. And I should have paid more attention. I should have had a plan. Even the resume I created just so they would sign my paper was bullshit. Like, I played the system. It pretty much like made everything up just so I could get through that week-long process and go home because I didn't care. Sure. Like I just wanted to be done. And
what about that interview? Like did you guys have to do the fake interview? Were you like interviewing?
No, they only picked a few people.
Oh, we had to pick a buddy and then like interview. And
no, I think we did that in groups.
It was
so
awkward. Yep. They're like, so why do you want to be a? And I don't even remember what I put. And I was like, I don't know, because you're making me.
yeah. That was, I just didn't pay attention. And even, but some of the positive things are in transition. Ooh. I can't really say there was a single positive thing during my transition.
You know, some people tell, like, great transition stories. They're like, oh, it was successful. Like, I was active duty one day, and the next day I was a civilian at a job. And I'm like, where did you, like, find that? Because I think it's pretty common for people to struggle at least the first year.
A little bit. And even, I don't know. I don't try to judge those that had a successful transition. And just maybe it's just an envy thing or a jealousy thing that they had a more successful transition. But like some people's mentalities are just, it doesn't affect them. Leaving the service is like they can easily close the door and be 100% done with it and just kind of move on. I just don't know how. I'm envious that people can actually do that.
Yeah, no, totally. I think my biggest downfall now that I think about it, I didn't save before I got out. I was young. Yeah. I was like, I got out and I was like, man, there is no check coming in.
I was like, look what I can do with these credit cards.
So that's another thing. Like now when I talk to people who are still in, I'm like, make sure you have like months saved up so that when you don't find a job right away, like it's not terrifying waiting for your VA claim to kick in or your retirement to kick in.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing in transition is have a plan, have a backup plan, and have a plan to the backup plan. And just in case, throw one more plan in there because I'm telling you, all that shit goes out the window when you just hit the real world. And I mean, it's just really weird. So I don't know, but that's a short stint of my story and where I come from.
I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like I know you better now.
Right? Nobody really asked those questions. The biggest advice I could give anybody transitioning out is really just have a plan. And that's like the most cheesiest, easiest answer in the world to give. But I guess one answer that I don't think I ever hear any veteran say is look at where you're moving. Oh, yeah. Like I moved with my wife to Wisconsin, where she's from. I didn't know anybody. We're far away from military bases. There's other than where I work, I don't come across a lot of veterans. So, it might have been easier being able around that kind of community, or even staying where I was stationed.
Yeah,
it would have just made it easier. So
that's true.
And having a support group, because you know sometimes your family is not your best support group. So
yeah, well, and I think too when you come to a not super military town,
yep,
like where we are, I think you forget all the things that are accessible to you when you're in, and like it's just so convenient. And now you're,
yeah,
you ask like, I'm not even going to get into it because I'll get on a soapbox about military discount. But anyways.
Right. But yeah, I think that's a little snippet of who we are. And I know that's like, it really wasn't structured in what we talked about. But the important thing is to give, did you have anything else to add to the transition thing?
I don't think so. I think just for this podcast in general, like, I think it's cool that we're going to get to hear other people's stories, because I think our story is more common than we realize.
I don't even think I said that in the beginning.
I don't know.
Probably not.
But I think it's cool that we get to talk to people and other people are listening, because I know I've listened to other, like, veteran podcasts. And most of the time I can't relate because I wasn't like special warfare or something like that, which is great for them. But to hear like a normal person who joined the military, had to get out or whatever the case may be.
Just a regular person in the world.
Yeah. Like here I am. I was a barista and a preschool teacher and a special event coordinator. Woo.
Yeah, right. But if we didn't mention that before, that is the idea behind the podcast, is to give a voice to veterans, all veterans. Just give them a platform to tell their story, because that one story could impact one other veteran or transitioning military member enough to change them so they don't. Although we love veterans coming to our door at Wisconsin Veterans Network, we prefer, like, it just gives you that chance to hear something that might change your life or your world or something like that. But we think that's important to be able to give that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we can close it out.
Yeah.
I can edit that out. But I did want to say real quick, the show is sponsored by Wisconsin Veterans Network, an established Wisconsin nonprofit ran by veterans for veterans. Their mission is to provide guidance and support for all veterans, whether Guard, Reserve, active, or even bad discharge, looking for any kind of assistance in the state of Wisconsin. If you're a Wisconsin veteran looking for an answer, whether a simple question about benefits or currently homeless, give them a call today. You can find more information about them at wisvetsnet.org or at aveteranspodcast.com. We both work for VetsNet as navigators, case managers kind of things. And again, we'll speak on that in later episodes. But today we were able to give you a little snippet into who we are and where we're going with this podcast. And we hope that you enjoyed. If you have any questions, I don't know, you can ask.
Yeah, hit us up.
Did you have anything else that you want to say?
I don't think so. This is, I'm excited.
So hopefully in the future we'll figure it out. But if you're interested in being on the show, drop us a line at aveteranspodcast.com. There's a submit form that you can fill out, and we can try and schedule a time to do a podcast with you and hear your story. In the future, we can speak more on our stories, Wisconsin Veterans Network, and questions that come in. But other than that...
And you don't have to be local.
No.
To be interviewed.
If you're hearing this in Alaska, please, by all means... Yeah, right? Please, by all means, let us know, and we'd love to have you on the show. So I think that's it. You good?
Good. Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.